Instruction regarding the establishment of institutions. April 20th, 1903. Typed. Some matters have been presented to me which I regard of great importance. I wish to place this matter before the managers of our sanitariums and schools. Our institutions should not be located in the cities. The influences of the city are of a demoralizing character. Our institutions should be established in places where land can be secured and beautified. Especially is this true in regard to our schools. The students should be removed from the evil sights and sounds of the cities. If possible, properties on which there already are suitable buildings or on which there are orchards in bearing should be purchased on which to establish schools. Then let vegetables and fruit be cultivated, that the tables may be supplied with food which is fresh and free from decay. The culture of strawberries and other small fruits should be carried on. Our sanitariums also should be located in the country, and the grounds around the buildings should be beautified by ornamental trees, which will invite the patients to sit in their shade. It is impossible to overrate the influence for good that these advantages exert. It is not pleasing to the Lord for those who believe present truth to establish themselves in the cities. The wise God is working on minds, leading people to see the advantage of leaving these congested centers and settling in the country. Many properties have been presented to me on which buildings are already erected and on which some improvements have already been made on the land. Although these may not in every particular be such as we would desire, yet the advisability of their purchase should be considered. Sometimes they may be so reduced in price that we should take advantage of the opportunity to secure them. It may sometimes be necessary to purchase a location in which there are no buildings or improvements. But we must guard against purchasing properties which may seem to be cheap, but on which the erection of buildings and the improvements that would have to be made would cost two or perhaps three times as much as was estimated. Thus, through ignorance and miscalculation, a large debt would be contracted. We are seeking to do something to advance the cause of present truth, and it is better for us, when possible, to purchase places that can readily be prepared for work, on which buildings are already erected, rather than to purchase the bare land. Often the money spent for the traveling expenses of men who are looking for favorable locations would better be saved and invested in the purchase of some place. Some are led too much by their own ideas and desires in regard to location. In Los Angeles, capable men are needed who will carefully count the cost and use sound judgment in their calculations. The lack of experienced men has been a great disadvantage there. The work should not be managed by one man's mind or by one man's ideas. The Lord Himself has told how His work should be established, and all this hindrance need not have arisen. It would be a mistake to build or purchase large buildings in the cities of Southern California. Those who seem to see such great advantages in so doing are without understanding. There is a great work to be done in sounding the gospel message for this time in these large cities, but the fitting up of large buildings for some apparently wonderful work has been a mistake. The Lord would have men walk humbly with Him. The message of warning should be sounded in the large, wicked cities, such as San Francisco. Well-equipped tent meetings should be held. San Francisco and Oakland are becoming as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord will visit them. Nor far hence they will suffer under His judgments. The establishment of restaurants. God would have restaurants established in the cities. If properly managed, these will become missionary centers. In these restaurants, publications should be kept at hand, ready to present to those who patronize the restaurant. The question often arises, should these restaurants be kept open on the Sabbath? The answer is, no, no. The Sabbath is our mark and sign and should not become obliterated. I have recently had special light upon this subject. Efforts will be made to keep the restaurants open on Sabbath, but this should not be done. I saw that some who patronize the restaurants have not proper self-control. On Sabbaths, they will go to other restaurants and eat largely of meat and a great variety of other food, and thereby receive injury.
Recently, a scene was presented before me. I was in our restaurant in San Francisco. It was Friday, and the workers were busily engaged in putting up packages of such foods as could well be transported. A number of people stood waiting to receive these packages. I asked the meaning of this, and the workers said, "Some of our patrons were much troubled because they could not get their meals here on the Sabbath. They told us of the injury their health would suffer if they could not do this. They felt the benefit of the wholesome meals that they received here during the week, and were loud in protest against being denied them on the Sabbath. The result, you see. For those who desire it, we put up on Friday a simple lunch, enough to serve over the Sabbath, and this they take with them. Should the work continue on the Sabbath, the same as on the other days of the week, when would the workers receive time for spiritual refreshing and physical rest? These things should be considered in the light of God's commandments. The Lord has said, 'Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath through their generations, for it is a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.'" Exodus 31, verse 13 to 17. We must hold to a plain, "Thus saith the Lord," even though it cause great inconvenience to some who have no respect for the Sabbath. On one side is man's supposed necessity and opposition, on the other, God's commandment. Which will have the greatest force on our minds? Our restaurants are not to be opened on the Sabbath to all who shall come, or to a few. Everyone who is employed is to be assured that he will have the Sabbath as a day of rest on which to honor and serve God. The closed doors of our restaurants on the Sabbath are to stand as a memorial, but all may know that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, and that in it no unnecessary work is to be done. The Lord has commanded that the baking and seething be done on the sixth day. Food for the Sabbath should be prepared the day before. On the Sabbath, God rested from the work of creation and was refreshed. He blessed the day of his rest and has made it obligatory upon man to keep the Sabbath. This command of God should be sacredly observed. Not all who profess to be followers of Christ are exemplary Sabbath keepers, but may God help us to reform. All should read the commandments of God and plant their feet firmly upon the platform of obedience.